Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, the 29th of June. This is 2020, still, like it or not. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Happy Monday.
Glad you're here. And also with us today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon and or good evening to everyone. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for having me.
Now, Dave, you're here. We talked on Friday about the Macworld All-Star Band reunion. And so that was kind of a nice little trip down memory lane.
By the way, I've watched the video a couple of times. It's very delightful. Awesome.
Yes, I've played it very loud over lovely speakers at my house, and it's been great.
That's awesome. That's great. I'm glad to hear someone's, I mean, like, I meticulously mixed that thing. Now, it was my first song that I ever mixed from start to finish. So it took far more time than it probably should have. But I'm glad to hear that someone's listening to it on more than just like a phone speaker, because I realized during the process, like, I'm putting all this work in. And mixing to make things sound good on a phone speaker is non-trivial. Different.
Right.
Yeah, but you know, it's nice to know that somebody, at least one other person, played it on something, you know, loud and throaty. So that's good.
Yes. The Bowers and Wilkins speakers just over there had no complaints. So
you get the benefit of two bass players on that song. So there you go.
That's okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we had you here to talk briefly about that Friday, which was sort of a nice reminiscence because the Macworld All-Star Band comes out of Macworld. And in fact, another thing that comes out of Macworld is something that was 13 years ago today, which is that the original iPhone, officially went on sale on this day 13 years ago. Yes, and it feels like longer.
The iPhone is a teenager. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's difficult teenage age. No. I had quite a fun morning before you guys woke up on the other side of the pond watching back some of the original announcement and keynote that Steve Jobs gave at Macworld. Mm-hmm. And a couple of things struck me. The first was just how damn good Steve Jobs was at that. And I know we think, you know, Tim Cook and Craig Federighi and all those guys are good, and they are. But when you watch it, something like that back, you realize it was on a different level.
Yes.
And
they learned at the feet of the master. I mean, to be fair.
That's a very fair way of putting it.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that struck me was just how, in so many ways, the iPhone that Steve Jobs announced then and that went on sale today 13 years ago, mm-hmm. just how much of that core remains in the iPhones we all have today. And I found that pretty astounding and probably.
Really?
Yeah. And just, I think, a rather ringing endorsement of that original design. If you look at all the other companies that are referenced or that have died or the way other companies have changed their smartphones, the core of what is the iPhone, to me, still seems exactly the core that Steve Jobs announced. I think that's pretty astounding.
The reason that's interesting. That's right. The reason that's interesting to me is because what I think of is what's so different. So Dave and I were in the room at the time. Separately, but we were both in that room as the room where it happened, I guess, is what the young people say now. And when I think back on being there and what we saw versus what I have in my pocket as we record this, which doesn't fit in my pocket, which is a different topic. What I think about is the reaction at the time to that device. And the first was, who in their right mind would pay that much money for a phone? Which was $699, Dave, initially?
I think it was
$600
$499 and $599 were the prices.
Okay. Okay. Because then there was like a $600 one, and you could, and at one point they gave everybody $100 credit who had bought that original phone. So who in their right mind would pay that much money for a phone was one reaction by like the public at large. And the other was, who in their right mind would carry around a phone that big? That's the other thing that I remember.
5 inches of it, Kelly.
Yes, I know. I have a 3G actually sitting here on my desk. as we've been going through closets and drawers and things at my house, and like picking that up and holding it and remembering the feeling that this is the future, right? In this, you know, at the time, large screen that I was carrying around in my pocket all the time, which did fit, is very interesting compared to what we have now. You know, the 11 Pro, for example, that's in my pocket as we speak. So that's why it's interesting to me that you talked about how much is the same, because when I think of it, I think about how much is different. Now, Dave, you were doing a lot of covering and things at that point. So what can you tell us about what things looked like in that from summer 06, I guess, to Macworld 07, because it was like late summer when we started hearing those rumors in earnest, if my recollection is correct, which could be completely wrong.
Right. No, that's about right. Yeah, they started really kind of heating up. And remember, the phone went on sale 13 years ago today. It was 13 and a half-ish years ago on January 9th. 2007, so yes, about 6 months prior that it was announced to the world. Now, things
which was
changed.
Another huge thing, because Apple never did anything that far in advance even then. So,
well, they had to, right? Because they knew that the FCC would spill the beans unintentionally. There's ways of putting things in the FCC's pipeline to get approval that keep it from being publicized, but Apple / Steve Jobs weren't going to trust that was going to work out. This was the biggest product they'd released in a very long time, arguably since the Macintosh, right? And
sure,
in their minds, you know, and it turns out also in everybody else's, certainly in retrospect.
That was correct. But, yes.
Yeah, they were right. Yeah, about that. But they decided they needed to be the ones to announce it and then, you know, let the FCC kind of do their thing and let people dig into the details that way. One thing, but you're right. Yeah, it heated up. Everybody, it was interesting because no one really, I can't speak for others, but from what I saw and certainly from within myself, it was very hard to imagine, based on the trickle and sprinkling of rumors that swirled, it was hard to imagine what this phone was going to be like, because every phone now is like an iPhone. It's a big sheet of glass with, you know, some buttons either on the front or the sides or both, and sometimes the back, but mainly a big sheet of glass. And that, like, the iPhone was the first of those.
Yeah.
So the paradigm of, like, it was just impossible to imagine how that could possibly work.
Well, and remember the information we have to go on. The information we had to go on at that point was Slim, which was, like, if you go by what we know, here's what the iPod looks like right now, which is what we had in 2006, right? This is the device that Apple actually manufactures that fits in your pocket. It's this iPod, this slab of white plastic, maybe black if we were up to black plastic ones at that point. So we've got this that we know about. And then Apple teamed up with Motorola, for good or ill, again, a separate conversation, to make the Rocker, the ROKR phone, which was arguably not their finest moment, and the Rocker 2 wasn't that much better. I know that because I had one, and it was way better than the Razr that I had been using before the Rocker became an option.
And the
only reason that phone sticks in my mind is because the Rocker was the one that I had when I was in San Francisco. So this is the one I was using to frantically text back to the people in the office and go, "You guys, it's actually a phone. This is really happening," you know, because I was working in a tech support department with a bunch of people who had put up, like, you know, little pictures we'd printed from the internet and the cubes of, like, you know, "I want to believe" that poster, you know, from the X-Files, but there was like a mocked up phone at the top instead of the flying saucer, you know, and things like that. And so, like, that's, Dave, why I was wondering about, you know, the rumor piece fit and everything from the coverage side, because, like, there were a lot of people who wanted to know about it, but all we had to go on was this ugly candy bar phone that Apple had a hand in, because you could put music on it with iTunes, and then the iPod. Like, those were the only known quantities we had from Apple for stuff that fit in your pocket at that point.
But yeah, you're right that Apple was involved in a phone that someone else made, right? Yeah. The Motorola phone. But and it was basically they baked iPod functionality into somebody else's phone, right? Right. They allowed that to sort of be licensed. But as far as phones went, that wasn't really the point of comparison, at least not in the industry. It was, you know, we had the Trio from Palm,
yeah,
and the BlackBerry,
and the BlackBerry,
and those were smartphones. Yeah. And I loved my Trio 650. I mean, so much so that when the iPhone came out, I bought one, but I did not use it. I gave it to my wife. And she used the original iPhone for the Whoa. First year, and then the 3G. Well, because the iPhone had no third party apps, and there was no like the App Store. It wasn't that the App Store wasn't planned; it was forbidden.
Right.
It was made.
It wasn't
very
like
clear.
Not here yet. It was you don't need this.
And it was because of the Trio, you know, the way apps worked on that, there were no guardrails up. So apps could just crash into each other and then also crash. But if you were a geek, you could learn which apps crashed into each other in which ways. And you could get your Trio set up so that it was a really functional device
yeah.
with all the right third-party apps and all that stuff. So the iPhone was this, for me, a massive step forward technologically with this beautiful sheet of glass, but a huge step backwards in terms of productivity. So I was like, yeah, no, I'm not interested in that.
yes.
But, you know, it was interesting watching it evolve. You know, this day 13 years ago was a very different day than January 9th. I mean, January 9th was crazy. I was interviewed right after the keynote by Katie Couric for the CBS Evening News that night. I mean, yeah, it was
yeah.
like, right. It was nuts. But the phone evolved, and yep. when they announced it, they said the less expensive version was going to have a plastic screen, and then the more expensive version was going to have a glass screen. They quote unquote upgraded everyone. No one had placed an order yet, mind you. But you know, sometime after January, before June, they yeah. upgraded everyone and said everybody gets glass, which was thankfully they did that. Because it's far more functional. And my guess is that that's what they found too. Like, yeah. this isn't going to give people an experience we want them to have. So glass everywhere. But yeah, it was, you know, it was that period of time. And then up to launch day was crazy. I mean, it was the first time I don't think people waited in line for iPods. I could be wrong about that, but it certainly wasn't like a thing. The thing people waited in line for was, regarding Apple anyway, was to go see Steve Jobs deliver a keynote. Like people would wait overnight and do that, you know, for Macworld and DubDub and those things. But in terms of a product, the iPhone was the first of those. And a lot of businesses were launched that day. You know, there were a ton of websites
yeah.
that didn't exist until 13 years ago today. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, like these quote unquote kids were so excited about their phones that they went and started writing things about them. And, mm-hmm. You know, I know Vincent Nguyen from Slash Gear was one of them. And he like that's when that website started. And Michael Johnston, who's now a rocket scientist, started iPhone Alley that day. You know, yeah. like these were big. It was a big, big deal. Industries were launched, you know, from then forward, obviously. But right. you know, that launch day was a special thing. It, you know, arguably the announcement day was cool. Like you, Charlotte, I rewatched that keynote after the fact. For me, it was, I think the most recent time was maybe 5 years ago on an airplane. I queued it up on my iPad and my son and I watched it together. He was studying Steve Jobs at the time. And it was like, well, dude, you gotta watch this. And, you know, he was, you know, whatever, maybe more than 5 years ago, but he was like 10, 11, 12, something. And I was like, I wonder how much of this he's going to want to watch. And, you know, we stopped to like eat or something in the middle of it. And he's like, can we keep watching? I'm like, yeah. Okay. You're hooked.
It is like that. It's gripping. And it starts, for those of you who haven't watched it, there's a link. The whole video is embedded into my piece. It's about 50 minutes long, but it mm-hmm. starts off with the joke. And, you know, Steve Jobs comes on in his black polo and is like, yeah, today we're launching three new products. A widescreen iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator. Oh, and then like keeps repeating it. Do you get it yet? Like, but it's, you know, it was this 3-in-1. And I think that's what really made it stand out. And when you look at the video, he stands in very Steve Jobs style, mocking some of the competitors. He laughs at the keyboard on the BlackBerry and the Trio that you were mentioning and a couple of others.
Yeah.
And the pen he thought was just ridiculous. You know,
he hated the stylus.
Yeah. Yep.
And he hated the kind of roller trackball thing, which I remember from having a BlackBerry at the time.
So
I was 19. I was a student at the time and I did have a BlackBerry. But, and again, thinking like you, I remember thinking, it's a bit expensive. It's not on my network. What's the point of getting involved in this iPhone thing? Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, you watch it just almost destroy everything else in its path. And that's why I say when I'm watching it back, when I'm looking at the iPhone XR that's in my pocket or on my desk at the moment, and you see things that Steve Jobs identified that day, the home button, one single home button, mm-hmm. that's still there on the iPhone SE. There's still no keyboard and never has been. There's still no stylus and never will be.
Yeah.
There's... the headphone jack has gone, okay, but, you know, you can still plug headphones into it.
You can
it.
Still listen to music on it, though, which is the iPad piece of what he was promoting.
Exactly, and also having it as a media consumption device has always been front and center. Like, they didn't think, oh, this is a phone. Oh, actually, we can do this as well.
Right. And I want to talk about that in a second.
Right at the heart of it.
Yeah. I want to talk about the media piece in a second. But right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Devon Technologies. You've probably heard me talk about them before on the show if you're a longtime listener. Devon Technologies develops apps that will handle your flood of information. And they do that using artificial intelligence. So primarily, they do this with an app called Devon Think, which is a very, very professional document and information management application for your Mac. You can collect, organize, edit, and annotate all kinds of data. You never have to leave the app to do it. You can have live web pages like a Google Doc or a Google Sheet, and you can have that right next to a local file. You can tag them or put them in folders, or you can do both. If that's your thing, you can create rules like smart playlists in iTunes, and you can add reminders or even... programmer or not, you can build automation to go handle some of your boring, repetitive tasks. And all of that not only is available to you, but as a listener to my show, you get a discount. You can get 10% off either a shiny new license to Devon Think 3 or an upgrade. So if you've purchased it in the past and you want to dust it off and get back into it, you can do that with 10% off the upgrade price. And you get that at devontechnologies.com/TDO, DEVON technologies, GIES.com/TDO. Again, 10% off a full version or an upgrade. And I'd like to thank Devon Technologies for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other thing, Charlotte, that I wanted to ask you, that I wanted to talk about was the media piece of this. And the reason is I had not the 5th gen iPod, but what they called like the 5.5 gen iPod, because it was basically the same thing, but they added video capability and a little bit of capacity to it.
I had an iPod you could watch videos and stuff on.
Yeah. So at the time, my hard drive was an 80 gigabyte hard drive. And when they released the spec bump to the, because it was a 60 gigabyte iPod. So when they moved to the 80 gigabyte iPod, I went, great, most of my hard drive is music anyway. So now I can just back the whole thing up to my iPod. And since most of it's music in the first place, I'll just have a backup. And so like the first thing I did when I got my iPod was I went home and I put all my music on it. And then I went, well, you know, since I'm here, and I put Star Wars movies on my iPod, and I could carry around Star Wars movies in my iPod, and that blew my mind. And I did not have an original iPhone. I held out till the iPhone 3G, which is the one sitting here on my desk. And that's a thing that I remember doing was, you know, waiting, like, I don't even remember how long, but a very non-zero amount of time to put a Star Wars movie on my iPod so that on my phone so that I could watch a Star Wars movie whenever I wanted. And having that power in my pocket was really interesting. Because the media piece of it's interesting to me, like on the iPhone.
Well, in the Steve note, if you like, that we were talking about, before, he mentions photos almost, you know, very early on, the ability to store photos. I didn't realize actually that the ability to store video came later, and that obviously had, and to take video as well.
Yes.
To shoot video came a lot later, which obviously had another, you know, as we've seen recently, quite profound effects on things. And so, yeah, it's always been part of it, was my perception. They never pretended it was just a phone that you could do email on. That was never what it was sold as.
No,
right.
That whole internet communicator thing, like,
yeah,
when he said that, I remember people around me, you know, like there was some people definitely didn't get it right away. Like when he kept asking, are you getting it?
Are
you getting it? You know, like I suppose I had envisioned enough of, you know, based on the rumors and stuff, I had envisioned enough that as soon as he said all three, it was like, right, this is one device. You know, it just made sense. Like Apple's not going to release three different devices today. That's stupid. Doesn't make any sense, you know, there were some people that I remember, you know, sitting next to some folks that were like, wait a minute, this is one thing. It's like, right, that's what he's getting at. But you know, it was fine. I mean, it was just kind of how the vibe in the room was. But that, when he said internet communicator, it was like, okay, this is the future. This is what this thing is built to be. Like, and it was, you have to remember, like, there was no 4G. I mean, 4G. It was 1X RTT or whatever that it was. It was CDMA is what the phone
GPRS,
was, right?
GPRS, I think. Yeah.
GPRS. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Because it wasn't CDMA. It was GPRS. Yeah. Yeah.
It was terrible. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember
the speed was awful.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I remember when the first like 3G stuff started rolling out in London, everyone was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are now in the future.
Like the idea of having an internet communicator that was not tied to Ethernet or Wi-Fi was quite frankly sort of a misnomer at the time. Yes, the iPhone was able to do like email, but which I was doing with my Trio, right? I mean,
yeah,
I was a Singular customer that wasn't AT&T. It was on Singular initially,
Singular.
And then Singular was acquired. Yep, by AT&T or changed their name to AT. I don't know, whatever it was, but. And so I knew what the speed was and wasn't of this thing. But when he said it, it was like, okay, like there is a future world where this thing actually could be that. And Apple's the company to drive that bus. Mm-hmm. Like they're, you know, the Palm is just interested in leveraging what currently exists. BlackBerry clearly leveraging what currently existed, and quite well, to be fair. Like they made those devices work.
Sure.
In the world that we were in then. But Apple always had this way of sort of iterating. You know, they were never the first with any any product line. I mean, paradigms, yes. Product lines, no. But they could see around the corner, you know, and it was like, that's what's around the corner. And that, for whatever reason, that internet communicator was the thing that was like, okay, this won't work out of the gate because, you know, I know enough about the technology. They haven't magically like rolled out some nationwide Wi-Fi that no one's aware of and they're going to flip a switch. But this will happen with a device that is being sold and pushed by Apple this way. This will happen. And Apple wasn't winning. You know, this was still in the days when like, quite frankly, the reason like Mac Observer exists is because Apple was the underdog and we all sort of banded together and there were readers that wanted to know about their favorite platform and you couldn't get news about it anywhere else. Right. So it was like, but we knew what Apple was good at, you know, and it was like the rest of the world doesn't get it yet.
Now they really get it because some of them don't exist anymore. Watching it roll out and watching it, you know, seeing, as you say, the sheet of glass that everyone has now copied. It's a very profound thing because it's classic Apple, isn't it? They don't create the first product in that line. They didn't create the first smartphone. They didn't create the first tablet.
Right.
They just watched everyone else make ones that weren't as good and made one that's better. And that is really demonstrated both in that keynote and in on the product that came out today and why people loved it from when it came out today.
Yeah. I think the thing that I remember is it did take me one lap through, Dave, because I got up at like 2:30 in the morning to be in line at 3 to make sure that I was going to get into the room at all. And I almost didn't make it in the room, even though I got in line at 3 a.m. And right. So when you were talking about like people waiting in line overnight, I'm like, basically, yes. That's what I remember about it. And I also remember, if people want to know what the landscape looked like, right? When this was announced in January of 2007, people were taking Microsoft seriously when they were talking about the mobile platform. That's the world we lived in, because Steve Ballmer came out and said something like, isn't that cute? You know, look at Apple and their adorable little phone. That's so lovely. They think that's a thing they can do, or, you know, whatever it was he said that came to basically words to that effect. And, you know, look where their phone is now. I thought it was very it's been very interesting to watch it evolve, because Charlotte, you're right that a lot of stuff has stayed the same, but it's also very interesting to see how a lot of it has changed. So thank you both for being here today for our slightly larger than normal size show, because we had a lot to discuss with the iPhone, which is now officially a teenager. So happy birthday, iPhone. I guess this means everybody can have cupcakes after lunch, right? So go get yourself a cupcake.
In quarantine time, you can have them before lunch too. It's fine.
That's actually true. Yeah. That's science.
That's yes. Science.
That is science. Yes. If you live in an area that doesn't believe in science, I'll write you a note. Thank you both for being here today. Dave, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Charlotte, as always, it's lovely to have you here. Thank you for being here to talk to us about the iPhone.
No, thank you. I loved hearing your reminiscence of those couple of days, those two different occasions.
Yeah, it's very, very weird. You can always send us your information about your first experience with an iPhone. We would love to hear it. Observations at MacObserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and comments in the show notes. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.